Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The new production at the Milwaukee Rep, Guards at the Taj, is less than 90 minutes long, but that's plenty of time for the two-person show to cover plenty of ground. The play, which features two men standing guard before the Taj Mahal is revealed to the public, is at turns funny, biting, thought-provoking, and a little, sometimes a lot, bloody.
The play was written by award-winning playwright Rajiv Joseph and considers what happens when ordinary people are caught up in difficult circumstances with difficult demands of them. The Rep production stars Awais Ahemmet and Yusuf Sultani, who joined us in the studio recently and talked about the nature of mixing humor with uncomfortable situations.
I think it's the point. The thing is, dark comedies appeal to me so much because they're a mirror of actual life. Your actual life, in one day, you can go through an emotional roller coaster of things that happen to you. You know, you're going to be laughing one second and during your day, and then you hear some tragic news about something that happens on TV, and then, you know, you're grief-stricken. And this play is very much like that in the sense that you'll be laughing completely and hysterically, and then the next moment, it's like someone punched you in the gut, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Is there a challenge as an actor to doing that in a way that, I don't know, do you want to feel manipulative or not? If that's a fair question to ask.
Well, you know, our jobs as actors can sometimes be really difficult because you have to be really present. And in order to serve the text really well with its full intentions, even we have to be really present to the moment that's coming up and not think about it. So it comes as a surprise to us because the audience, I feel, is another character itself. So they are another character in the play that's listening and interacting with us, and they're going on this journey with us. And as we're making discoveries, they're making discoveries. And that part's where Yosef is talking about, where we get punched in the gut, that happens to us, and the visceral reaction hopefully will transcend to the audience as well.
Well, I always wonder about this when you have actors and they're doing a play that is funny and you're doing it night in, night out over the course of the run of the show. It really you really have to be in a position where it still feels as natural to mm-hmm. you the 15th time you've done it as it did the first and the second.
Oh, yeah. During rehearsals, we play with it consistently. We'll have to stop because we make each other laugh in the middle of the scene. So during a performance run, I think you continue to find new things after each performance. You'll surprise yourself, as you should. You know, the journey doesn't end until the curtain closes on the final night. And I really believe that it starts from the first day of rehearsal to the final day. So you'll never have you'll have a finished product, but at the same time, that product is always evolving. So things that are funny one night might land for the audience, and we find it funny, but it might not, and that's okay. The moments change, and the dynamic shifts between scenes consistently. You're never going to have the same show, and that's the great part about live theater.
Does your timing change based on the reaction of the audience?
I believe so. Yes,
it's going to. If somebody laughs in the audience, and you have to pause for that, then you have to pause for laughter.
And if there's a matinee crowd that's very enthusiastic compared to the night crowd, we'll have to play with them. But
Are matinee crowds more enthusiastic?
No, that was me being a little sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
You didn't pick up on that? Yeah, we'll have to. He's a good actor, I promise you.
This is true.
Well, no, you're such a good actor that I believed you.
Thank you, Mitch. Thank you. Just wait till you see me doing the play. Yep.
This sounds like as good a time as any to actually hear you do a quick scene from the play.
Absolutely.
Great. Okay, so just briefly, in this one scene, it's a great contrast of what's actually happening because we're in the act of cleaning up all of the blood, and it's this really tragic, depressing scene to watch. But then the content of our actual conversation is hilarious, so it's a nice juxtaposition of what's happening on stage. And in this moment right now, they're talking about inventions. Your flying invention with the seatbelt? That was a good idea. I, too, have an invention. I have an invention, too. A transportable hole. It's literally a hole you can take anywhere with you. And anything you attached it to would suddenly have a hole in it. Say you wanted to go through a wall? You could. Or say you're trapped in a dungeon. Or you're in the desert and it's so hot. Hole in the ground? Now you can sleep in some shade. Also, there would be things to eat inside the hole.
What would there be to eat?
I don't know. Beef curry? paratas.
It wouldn't fall out?
What?
Food wouldn't fall out of the hole?
No, it would be in the hole.
But the hole's a hole.
A transportable hole.
How do you carry it?
Carry what?
The transportable hole.
It would have a sack.
A sack?
Inside the sack, transportable hole.
What if I were in the sack?
Why would you be in the sack?
For example, if I was?
It's not a very big sack. You wouldn't fit.
It's a small sack.
Big enough only for the transportable hole.
It's a small hole.
Small enough to fit in the sack, but then, as holes are, it could grow and shrink in size.
But what if I were in the sack?
You wouldn't be in this. As I've said, it's a small sack.
Say I was very small.
Suddenly, you are very small.
Yes.
Small enough to fit inside the sack.
Yes, I'm trapped, see? Inside the sack.
How did you shrink?
There was a potion from some witch.
Okay.
So now I'm very small, and someone has gone and put me inside the sack.
With the transportable hole.
No, the transportable hole isn't there yet. It's out of the sack.
You took it out of the sack?
I didn't take it out. It was already out when I was captured and put in the sack.
Who took it out?
The boss man who owns it?
Maybe the emperor.
You would think the emperor.
Seeing as the transportable hole is probably a very rare and expensive thing.
That's what I was thinking. Not everyone gets a transportable hole. Too many transportable holes would be a bad idea, as they might take up everything. The whole world. And then what? What if everything was a hole? I have another invention, too, which is for something you put inside the clouds.
Wait, go back to when you're inside the sack.
Oh, yes, because I've shrunken to a very small size.
How small? Like a child?
No, like a doll a child plays with.
That's very small. And you're in the sack.
Trapped inside because the boss man, probably the emperor, captured me and put me in there.
Punished for being too small.
But because the sack I'm in is also the sack to transport the transportable hole is now put in the sack with me. Now, I'm in a sack that has a hole in it. So, can I escape?
Well, you could just go right through the hole.
Exactly.
That's what the hole is for.
But could the transportable hole, wouldn't it also fall through its own hole?
Could the hole fall through itself?
It's a good question.
Sure, it could.
Well, if it could, then the sack isn't a very good sack with which to carry it.
That is true.
Nothing could carry it.
Nothing could ever carry it.
Then how do you take the hole places?
You couldn't. Nobody could. It's a useless invention.
Unless you had two sacks, and the hole simply led to the other sack. So even if the hole did fall through itself, it would end up in the other sack, and then back again in the corresponding sack, like an hourglass. Yeah.
This is like Abbott and Costello clean up blood in front of the
totally.
Taj Mahal.
Totally.
Basically.
We should talk a little bit about the play itself. I mean, the two of you are playing Imperial Guards. They're posted in front of the just about to open Taj Mahal. And at the heart of the play is this long-standing story about the people who built the Taj.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In that, in so much as the emperor who ordered the Taj made decided or decreed that nothing would ever be as beautiful as the Taj, and thus, I'll let you fill in the story from there.
Well, it's a legend. It's a myth, and the story's been passed down for generations. And the amazing playwright Rajiv Joseph went to the Taj, and he'd heard these things, and I saw this interview where he'd written this amazing play with lots of different characters, and it was a fully completed, realized play. And then they were staging it, and was workshopping it, and then he was, while watching it, fixated on these two guards in the corner who were actually having a conversation during rehearsal. And he was like, "That whatever's happening right there is so much more interesting than what's happening on stage right now. I'm going to scrap this whole thing and write a play about these two guys and then base it around this myth, this legend of how Emperor Shah Jahan decreed that nothing so beautiful as Taj Mahal shall ever be built again." And in this myth...
Yes, he ordered the 20,000 workers to never build anything as beautiful again. And according to myth, that people say that he ordered the hands to be cut off. Now, I was just at the Taj in India, actually, and my tour guide was telling me the story, and I was like, yeah, I know. And he's like, but do you know the same root word for taking hands is also writing? And I was like, oh... So he was like, yes, actually, what happened was they made people sign contracts that they will never work again and never build something as beautiful as the Taj Mahal. So from that transpired this...
Cutting off
hands. Yeah, this myth of like that again. He ordered the hands to be cut off. which I think is a fun myth because my grandma and my mom used to tell me that. And they'd be like, at the end, actually, it didn't really happen. I was like, well, then why are you scaring us?
Princess Bride.
but like with many myths, there is this grain of truth, or it became a myth because there was something at its heart that actually did happen.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think people are going to be asking themselves as they walk out of this play?
Well, hopefully they leave with a sense of, basically the play itself is the relationship of these two guys. It's friendship. But ultimately in current world, our zeitgeist right now, I think it deals a lot with the relationships between ordinary people and authority. And that's a big struggle in this play. And that's the difference between these two characters. One of them very much wants to be within this box and these rules and follow the rules and pleasing authority. And the other one's more, into inventions and the outward view of things of the world and its correlation with him as a being. It's things that have a little bit more weight to it, in my opinion.
These guys could be concentration camp guards. They could be foot soldiers in Rwanda. Or they could be
two regular guys. Yeah. Yes. I think that's the best part about this play is that anybody who comes to see this show can really relate to these characters. They're incredibly emphatic and sympathetic.
The play is so poetic. There's so much you can take with you. I mean, I still find moments while doing the play, make discoveries about humanity, about myself, about what beauty means to me, what does order mean to me. And the play also deals a lot with masculinity. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be in touch with your emotions? How much of that are you told to shove out in the rug? And where do these ideas come from? So yeah, it's a really poignant play. And I'm excited to share this play and this work with the Milwaukee audiences.
Had you already gotten this role when you visited the Taj?
Yes. I found out I was doing the role, and I wanted to see the Taj Mahal before I started it. So I impulsively, which costs a lot of money,
This is like not like an impulse buy at 7-Eleven.
No. I wish it cost as much, but it didn't. But it was beautiful there. It was totally worth it.
And have you been?
I have not, no. We talked about going together and, I was still in the process. It was only a 2-week span. So the fact that he made that happen, I'm pretty impressed and admiring of the fact that he was out there. We FaceTimed while he was there.
Yes.
And the morning he woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was, I guess it was about like 10 o'clock at night.
I woke up at 5, actually.
It was beautiful.
See it at dawn?
Yeah.
Ugh. It's gorgeous.
I mean, and I just saw it off an iPhone. It was in the background, and I saw his beautiful face, and it was joyous. I could see the elation on his face, and I felt the passion that he felt seeing it through him, and it was a beautiful thing that he was able to FaceTime me. But yeah, that experience, the fact that he came with that kind of experience already under his belt is pretty amazing.
Hey, when we do the show on Broadway, we'll have to go before we do that show.
Yeah, maybe the theater pay for it.
So, yeah. It's going to be Broadway. Of course they're going to pay for it.
The 2-week span, the jet lag alone makes that a staggering achievement.
You have no idea. Oh my gosh, jet lag's real. I haven't gone overseas in 15 years, and jet lag kicked my butt.
He got back Sunday, and then we started rehearsals Tuesday. So he was right, like he's fresh off of the plane having just seen Dodger.
I looked like a mess. People were like, no, you look fine. And I was like, no, this is one of those moments where I actually look like a mess.
Who told you look fine?
People said it very politely. Hey, I see what you did there.
Well, listen, it is a terrific play, and the two of you are wonderful representatives of it sitting here in the studio with
me.
I am honored to have you both here, and thanks so much.
Thanks, Mitch.
Owais Ahemmet and Yusuf Saltani star as Babun and Hamayun in Rajiv Joseph's Guard at the Taj, which runs through November 4th at the Milwaukee Rep. You'll find more information at WUWM.com, and we'd be remiss if we didn't point out that the playwright Rajiv Joseph's other works include a play called The Lake Effect.